nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Well, good afternoon, out and abouters, and welcome. I am your host, Captain DJ Mabe, for DJ Captain Mabe. Whatever floats your boat, and you are listening to Out and About on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM, also streaming from KYRS.org. And today, I have one person, but a person of so many personalities or so many different ways to look at this person. I'm very excited. Let me give a little introduction to Garen Hertel from the Hot Club of Spokane, the Red Hot Kitten Stompers, Zonky Jazz Band, Rockabilly Space Force, and before that, one of the members of the Quarrymen, I believe. No, that's not right.
That's not right.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I got carried away. Welcome, Garen.
Thank you.
Welcome to Out and About.
Yeah,
and we're gonna talk about these bands.
Sure.
We're gonna talk about an event. We've got two big events to pimp out here today.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we've got we've got the thing. I'll read a PSA for this. The Get Loud in the Library, which is coming up this Saturday, and then also we've got pretty special event, it sounds like, with in the Hamilton Space Studios new space, where we've got
Ken Poplowski.
Ken, yes, thank you. I have too many notes.
It's all good.
Yes, and we're going to talk about him. And also, you've got really like all stars playing in your bands. So
they're really good.
Yeah. Why don't you just tell me a little bit about yourself? And I'm going to review my notes.
Like, oh, I should have sure. Well, I have four bands. I lived in Spokane my whole life. Graduated from North Central High School. Went to Gonzaga, and I guess I'm a local person.
What year did you go to Gonzaga?
I was late. I went as an adult, so okay. I was like 27 when I started. So I graduated 03. Okay. So it's been 21 years.
Okay. I was there. I was working there maybe at the same time you were there.
Oh.
I would have been there in 1999.
I was an employee as well. I started in 1999.
Oh, were you an employee there?
Yeah.
Where did you work there?
I started as a custodian.
Okay.
And then I was a researcher for like 10 years.
Okay. Oh, no kidding. Did you know Rock? And he did the landscaping guy, Brazilian.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, of course. So yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. Yeah, that was seems like a million years ago, especially when you go to that campus.
It's like a lifetime ago for me.
And so tell us, let's just talk about the event with Ken Poplowski.
Sure.
Right off the bat. Now let's talk a little bit about Ken, because I started looking up him, and he's just like a major clarinetist
he's kind of like an alien or something. He's like, you know, super talented New York musician, you know. So
yeah.
He's played with everybody, played with Benny Goodman back in the 80s, Benny Goodman's last band. Ken was in that band, and he's recorded with Madonna.
Yeah.
Mel Torme, Leon Redbone. I mean, there's just a long list of. And of course, Hot Club of Spokane, right?
Yeah.
he's a big deal. He's a really one of the finest clarinet players I've ever encountered in my life. And he's known as kind of, I mean, there's a media piece where I forget the name of the, I think it's Russell Davies from BBC, says he's basically the best jazz clarinet player on the planet.
Wow.
It's great. I mean, he says in his bio, kind of like he plays small clubs or Vegas or big shows at the Hollywood Bowl and stuff like that. Wow. So he's a really grounded guy. Super interesting to talk to. You know, he's got a lot of really fun stories and great sense of humor.
How did you make the connection with him?
Well, David Larson, who is a professor at Spokane Falls Community College, has worked with him in the past. And so I got a chance to play with Ken several years ago with Hot Club of Spokane at the Falls. And then when when Zonky Jazz Band was putting together their debut album, which you have a copy of now.
Thank you.
We invited Ken to participate. So he's on three tracks on that album. And then he came back to Spokane for another event at the Falls. And he sat in with Zonky Jazz Band at the Montvale Event Center downtown for basically an album kickoff. It was a celebration of Mildred Bailey, who's a local big name in jazz from long ago. And so, yeah, he was there for that. And then, you know, basically just started a good friendship with Ken. And I heard that he was going to be on the West Coast. And I called him up and I just thought, well, he's probably not going to answer, you know, because he's just super busy. You know, he's constantly booked. And he called me back in like 15 minutes. And he's like, yeah, I have like a week off after my show. Why don't I just stop in Spokane?
So, so you know, because people, I'm sure most, well, I'd say a lot of people probably know about what a hotbed of jazz in Spokane in the 40s and with in 30s with Bing Crosby and Al Rinker and
They left in 1925.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so 25.
Gone by then. Although they came back a few times. You know, there was a big event with Bing in 37, and there's just a lot of you know, Spokane was pretty proud of their accomplishments as the city who who brought the world Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Because he was basically the biggest star on the planet. You know, like he's the first American Idol. You know, I mean, he was all over the world. You know, people knew who Bing was. But it was the early 20s when Al needed a drummer, Al Rinker, who was Mildred Bailey's brother. I mean, and Al went to North Central High School. He was living over in the North Central neighborhood, and he had a band, and he needed a drummer, and Bing played the drums. And so they were at the Mission Pool over, you know, on the east side there.
Right.
And
still Al's, there.
Yeah, it's still there. Al said, hey, Bing, you know, I need a drummer. And the funny thing was Bing was, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 years older than most of the people in that band. So, you know, he was kind of like the big guy, came into the rehearsal. The first rehearsal, I remember reading in Gary Giddens' book on Bing that Al was telling the band how it was. And Bing pulled him aside after the rehearsal. He said, "You ever talk to me like that, I'll punch you in the face." And at that moment, I thought, I love Al Rinker.
Yes.
Al Rinker is the guy I relate to the most.
Right.
Because I can totally, you know, like I'm just trying my best to run a band.
Yeah.
And the star comes in and threatens to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that too. Somebody wants to organize. That's the thing about creatives and all that is that sometimes it is a little hardship to steer.
Yeah.
When you have so many people with ideas and they're all idea people. Oh, I've got an idea. I've got an idea. It's like, well, we need to do some work here too. And you have with Al Rinker, he was a member of the Coeur d'Alene tribe, right?
Yeah. Al and Mildred
were both. Was as well.
Yeah. They were both born down in Tico.
Yeah.
Which is just about an hour south of Spokane and grew up on the Coeur d'Alene reservation, you know, learned.
Yeah.
Both native music and Catholic hymns and ragtime and jazz. So that was all kind of, you know, baked together in the Rinker family. And they moved to Spokane in like 1912. And then Mildred went off to seek her fortune in about 1918 or so. And Al was quite a bit younger. If you look online, there's some weird things about Mildred's birthday.
Okay.
It seems, and this may be apocryphal, I don't know, but it seems that she was telling people that she was younger and younger because she kept marrying younger men.
Oh.
And so like her official obituary says that she was born in 1907, which is a year after Al was born, but she was 6 years older than Al. So
the math
that is clearly wrong.
that's crazy. And I know I kind of wanted to go down this road a little bit is that Ken Poplawski, so I'm thinking, you know, it must be weird for him, you know, on the coast, New York, to come to Spokane and go like Spokane.
Well, there's history here.
But yeah, there's so much history. So is he in touch with that history?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
He does Mildred Bailey tribute shows.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah, he himself has done them.
And we had some women here doing those too.
Well, Julie Keefe.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's still kind of like the leader, cultural leader among all of us in the jazz community. Partly because, you know, she grew up on the Nez Perce reservation, I think it is. And then she went to Gonzaga Prep and discovered Mildred there and really identified with her story. And so she's kind of the torchbearer, I guess you could say, of all the efforts in the musical community anyway. Okay. There was a film a few years ago called Rumble, which is called Rumble, The Indians Who Rock the World. And it was all about the Native American influence on music that's been ignored, frankly, over the century. And there's a vignette in that film about Mildred Bailey. And I was fortunate enough to be, I was like 10 seconds on TV or on the, you know, well, TV, Netflix, or wherever it is. It's on Amazon Prime. It's all over the place. But yeah, I'm in there for 10 seconds. Chad Hamill, Dr. Chad Hamill, who's a Spokane tribal descendant, he's in there more than, way more than I am, and rightly so. But at any rate, yeah, there's this rich history. There's a lot of people locally who have Gary Edwards down at the Coeur d'Alene Casino. He does a lot of Mildred Bailey tributes as well. Cece Curtis, I think is her name. She sings the part of Mildred in those tribute events. So yeah, there's a lot of movement around it. We're still, you know, we talked about this before the light went on, you know, like trying to figure out how to get out of these gaps, you know, in cultural information and how to get people informed, not only about what we're doing as a band, but what's the history here? Why do people not know how cool, you know, it is that we have three big names in the jazz world that came from here.
Yeah.
And we actually have quite a rich community of jazz musicians that are performing today. You know, I mean, they're all very accomplished people. They're very easy to play with. You know, they put on good shows. Imagine Jazz does a lot of work, I think, with KYRS, or has in the past. She, Rachel Bade McMurphy, you know, and she's on the Inland Sessions on KSPS, and she has her own thing going over at Hamilton Studio. Jared Hall over at Whitworth is kind of back in town. He was with 6 Foot Swing, for those people who might remember that.
Yeah, I remember
long
that.
Ago.
Yeah.
Jared was in 6 Foot Swing, and now he's kind of, I don't know his exact title at Whitworth, but he is kind of in charge of jazz over there, if I'm not mistaken. And he's a phenomenal player. All my guys, you know, I think are top notch, you know, we have a great time.
And you know, and jazz is such a big umbrella.
It is.
Too, you know, and I think that, for me, this is my favorite kind of jazz. I like the stuff that...
The pre-war.
The pre-war and people with singing, with singers and...
Some lyrics.
Lyricists and and that, you know, the band is, it's not like a free-form kind of jazz. It's more like there's structure to it and that somebody like me that don't know, I can't say the word, but I don't know that about jazz. But I enjoy it because, you know, it's like what I kind of grew up with and I knew.
Well, there's an intellectual aspect of jazz that comes sort of after 1950 with cool jazz and the birth of the cool and Miles Davis and John Coltrane and so on. And not that that's, you know, that you have to be smart or something to listen to it, of course. But there's a sense in which I think a lot of people shy away from it just because they don't really understand what's going on in the music. And with pre-war jazz, there's lyrics, it's danceable,
accessible.
It was the pop music of the day.
Yeah.
So there's some handles there for someone who's used to rock and roll or, you know, whatever pop music today.
Yeah.
It's a little more familiar.
In the space at Hamilton, which I've not been there, I think since I've done some commercials and stuff there, but it's, what's it like now in there for people who may have never been into Hamilton?
It's beautiful. Well, I kind of think of it now as the new iteration of, say, Ella's Supper Club.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Without the restaurant, unfortunately. But Dawn has big plans, so we'll see. But so you go in. I mean, it's actually St. Joseph's Church old school gymnasium. So there was a parochial school attached to the Catholic Church over there, and they had this kind of, I don't know, it's built 1929, old gymnasium. And Don bought it, I can't remember what year, many years ago, and converted into his photography studio. And so there's a large, they call it the psych, like cyclorama, you know, where they film commercials or take pictures where it has the slope.
The big,
you know,
sloped white screen. I've done stuff in front of that,
Yeah, and then there's, you know, a light rack hanging down from that. And but there is a hardwood dance floor. And then there's the old, like, because it's an old elementary school or middle school or whatever gymnasium, it does have a stage with a giant red curtain.
Oh.
And it just looks I don't know. It's like you walk in and it's classy and and vintage, you know, and it, you kind of go back in time a little bit, although the psych is definitely not, you know, vintage.
Right.
But they light it up really cool. And so it's just a really pleasant place to be, whether there's a show there or not.
Right.
And then you throw a show in there and suddenly, you know, the room kind of has a magic quality to it that reminds me of how I felt. What, not, you know, you're not going to go in and mistake this for Ella's Supper Club, you know, or right. Center Stage.
Oh, yeah.
But the feeling you get when you're in there is similar. It's just like there's something special going on here.
Oh, that'll
and,
be...
And, you know, whether it's my bands or Imagine Jazz or Jared or... And then Don has quite a few different artists coming through that you know, you kind of saw when Lucky You Lounge folded.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a gap.
Yeah, there's a real need.
Yeah. And even though the Chameleon has moved in and so on, it's a little different vibe over there, though. You know, it's more of a rock and roll kind of venue. And there was a need for some of these less mainstream artists to have a place to play too. And Don is kind of filling that niche.
Yeah, how cool. How cool. He does so much great stuff for the community, that's for sure. We should probably start telling people how they can get tickets. And the show is like 2 weeks from today, right? It's on a Tuesday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, October 8th. So I don't know, I thought it was kind of crazy, but I booked Ken for a matinee on a Tuesday, which, you know, that's when everyone wants to go to a show, right?
Yeah.
But 2 p.m. with Hot Club of Spokane. At Hamilton Studio. If you just go to hotclubofspokane.org,
okay,
you can find the link for tickets. Oddly enough, that show is selling better than the evening show. A lot of retirees.
So is there an evening show as well?
There is, yeah. So evening show with Red Hot Kitten Stompers and Zonky Jazz Band at 7 p.m.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
But if you want to hear Ken, you got to go to the...
You can go to both. I mean, Ken...
Oh, he's in both?
He'll be playing with all three of my jazz bands that day.
Now, these jazz... And we'll get more into this, but these jazz bands, are they... kind of a tackle jazz from a different perspective?
All three, yeah, different. Yeah, yeah, very different.
And
although some people, if you don't know jazz, you might say,
well, sounds the same to me.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But there is thought behind it, and there like if you are at all like purposefully listening, you'll be like, oh yeah, I get it. You know, like it's right there in your face.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that now or do you want to wait?
Well, we'll talk about, I'm going to play some music right now. And then I'm going to go into I got to load up my 20 minute after the hour stuff I have to play.
Yeah.
But we'll just go right into, the Zonky Jazz Band, featuring Ken Paplowski. And this one is called Peace Brother. Is that a good one to start out with?
Yeah, I love that
one.
Yeah,
okay. Sure. Let's do that. All right. And we'll be right back.
Brother, ain't you glad you're young and able? Peace, brother, dinner's on the table. Peace, brother, trouble's just another fable, so they say. Peace, brother, ain't you glad you're through your home? Peace, brother, cabin lights are glowing.
Thank you. Hey there, folks. Join me for a musical trip along Americana Avenue. Now on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Hear the greatest progressive songwriters from yesterday and today. Each week, I'll feature a specific artist and a vinyl spin of the week. It's music that plays to the human condition, Wednesdays at 6 on Thin Air Community Radio.
Hey, this is DJ Downlow from Inside the Hype Radio. Thousands of people choose KYRS as their radio station every week, and we want you to be a part of our family. Just text GIVE KYRS to the number 44321 and make KYRS your radio station.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 20th through the 22nd. Friday, Denver Rhiannon at Jackson Street and Catbox 20 offending members and Casket Cult at Nito Burrito and Baby Bar. Saturday, the Nightmares at Brick West, the Victorious Voice Soul Cup Gala with Tyler Ali, Kathleen Kinney, Lindsay Lee, and others at The Guardian, the Joel Stevens Trio at Iron Goat, Boom Jam with Vika and the Velvets, Shady Angels, Mama Llama, and others at Columbus and Cataldo, the Heather King Band at Beck's Harvest House, Valley Fest Day 1 with the Red Hot Kitten Stompers, the Wild Woolly Band, 32 Flavors, and others at Mirabeau Point Park, and the Ballroom Thieves at the District. Sunday, Honey Soup Fall Fest with Aaron Parks, Christopher Lucas, Jerry Lee Raines, and others at the Zephyr Lodge at Liberty Lake. Valley Fest Day 2 with Rosie Sircone, sole proprietor, Mariachi Las Aguilas, and others, and Sub Radio and Double Camp at the District. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Get loud in the library. Okay, everybody stand by for this because this is the longest PSA I've ever read. Imagine this, friends. A quiet library, the kind of place where stories whisper from the pages and silence is golden. But not on September 28th. No! On this night, the Central Library in Spokane will come alive with the sound of music. Not just any music, mind you. Three bands, each with a story, each with a soul, and all ready to make a little noise. First up, we have the Angela Marie Project. Now they call themselves AMP for a reason, because they bring the energy. Get it? Amp. All original, all the time. They spent over a decade electrifying crowds, and this night will be no different. Then we have Sidetrack, a six-piece wonder. These musicians don't just play, they weave a groove. Multi-instrumentalists, each one, they craft a sound that gets into your bones. And last, but certainly not least, hold on to your hats, because Rockabilly Space Force is about to land. We're talking rock and roll the way it was meant to be, fast, wild, and full of fire. They're bringing the music of Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, and all the legends. Get ready to shake, rattle, and or roll. I put in the and or part because this set's going to make you remember why rock and roll took over the world. Three bands, one forgettable night, all happening in the last place you'd expect, the Central Library. And the best part, it won't cost you a dime. Bring your friends, your family, and let the music carry you away. Date, September 28th. Time, 7 p.m. And we're up here on the third floor of the Spokane Central Library at 906 West Main. Oh, and you know what? Now I'm supposed to also read my... I'm going to get a little oxygen, and then I'm going to read my underwriting. Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Okay, we are back, and welcome, everybody, and we're just having a nice little chat here. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. I'm talking to Garen Hertel, who is, I listed the names, and we're going to go down through these names of the bands, and we're going to talk about some famous folks that you have affiliated yourself with, and incredible people, and not that you all aren't incredible. But
yes, of course.
Okay, here's what I want to do.
Okay.
I want to go... Let's say if I'm going to give the band, I'm going to say the name of the band and I'm going to say opening four and tell me who, what kind of band do you think this, your band would open for? Is that fair? Is that
can they be a historical band?
No, a historical band would be better.
Okay, because that'll be easier for me.
Yeah, it'd be much better. Okay, we're going to start right off with the Hot Club of Spokane.
Opening for Django Reinhardt and the quintet of the Hot Club of France.
Whoa, let's talk a little bit about both those bands then. Let's just do that right now.
Okay.
Hot Club of Spokane. Somebody had to describe that.
So we're named. I mean, this is complicated, and I apologize in advance.
Oh, because I love today it. I already love it.
I just filed nonprofit paperwork for the Hot Club of Spokane, which is a preservation organization dedicated to the preservation of jazz, swing, and blues, which is named for the Hot Club of France, which was also a preservation club. It was an actual club of college students who were concerned in the 1930s about jazz surviving the Great Depression. So they had the Hot Club of France, and then they're, of course, in France, and they met Django Reinhardt, and they said, hey, let's put a band together. So they had the quintet of the Hot Club of France, which became known as, of course, just the Hot Club of France, and Django Reinhardt was the leader of this whole revolution of music that combined Roma, or as some people say, gypsy,
right,
musical influences with American jazz, and it created its own genre. It's, I think, more properly called jazz manouche, which is the name of the tribe of Roma people that
is this kind of like klezmer kind of sound?
It's
because I think I've
yeah,
heard this.
I mean, I think that some parts of it could be so, you know, it's kind of adjacent to that, but it's musically, harmonically, yeah, they're saying like Dark Eyes, you know, Hava Nagila, you know, those kinds of things you might hear in a jazz manouche ensemble. But it's got its own thing, you know, and minor swing or nuage, those kinds of tunes, if you're familiar with jazz history, would be what Django was.
And I'm nodding, but I'm not.
Yeah. Well, if you look up nuage, it's probably one of the most famous jazz manouche tunes.
Okay.
It's clouds in French. N-U-A-G-E-S.
Okay.
Or minor swing would be another one that's just super. Bluegrassers play minor swing. They just play it in D minor instead of A minor.
Okay.
So the Hot Club of Spokane is named for the Hot Club of France. And I, after 20 years of this band basically being in existence, not quite 20 yet, but almost. I finally decided I need a nonprofit to help pay for some of these big ideas that I have. And so Hot Club of Spokane, the band, will in a sense become the sextet of the Hot Club of Spokane.
Okay. And would you say that is probably the biggest, I mean, as far as the most active of your bands right now?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It kind of goes in waves.
Okay.
But definitely trying to be out there a few times a month.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's the brand name, I guess, that has been the longest running of all my groups.
Okay.
Started about 2006.
And
yeah.
Okay, let's go. I'm going to skip over to the Zonkey Jazz Band. Because I think, are they similar to the Hot Club of Spokane? But first of all, Zonkey Jazz Band.
Who are we opening for?
Who is opening for?
Yeah, we're opening for Benny Goodman's Sextet.
Okay, all right, okay.
That's probably the closest, but Zonkey Jazz Band is different from Hot Club in the sense that it is designed to be a dance band for Lindy Hop, East Coast Swing, Jitterbug, Collegiate Shag, Balboa, Bow Swing, all those dance styles that are pre-war, things you'd see in videos like Whitey's Lindy Hoppers and stuff like that from the 30s and 40s.
Okay.
So musically, instrumentally, the difference is that Hot Club is almost always played just on stringed instruments. There's rarely horns or drums or pianos although a piano is a stringed instrument technically, but
that's true,
but it's guitars, fiddles, and basses, you know, in Hot Club. And then in Zonkey, we have drums, we have a full horn section, you know, we have guitar, two guitars, bass, but it's definitely, again, designed so that the tempos are right for dancing. It's got a little bit more of that Sinatra kind of, you know, sometimes those tunes creep in and we play those, but it's Fats Waller, it's Benny Goodman Sextet, it's Kansas City 5, 6, and 7s, it's I guess a modern day band that we would open for might be like Jonathan Stout and his Campus Five.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is the, probably the most famous, most hired Lindy Hop band on the planet. They're okay. from LA.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. How about Red Hot Kitten Stompers opening for?
Historically opening for Fats Waller.
Okay.
Yeah. Although probably I should have said Louis Armstrong, but.
Okay. Well, you can back up.
Yeah. We'll either or would post. Be fine. My musical journey really, I mean, as a professional began in New Orleans. So kind of the beating heart of everything that I do starts there. And the Red Hot Kitten Stompers are a group that you might see busking on the corner of Royal and St. Peter in the middle of the French Quarter.
Okay. Oh, cool.
You know, there's no drums in that group. It's bass and guitar in the rhythm section and then four horns out front. And it's traditional jazz. So it's, you know, Jelly Roll Morton, it's King Oliver, Louis Armstrong, Fats Waller, all those early jazz kinds of, Kid Ory. There's just, I mean, there's so many, Sidney Bechet.
Okay. All right. All right. And this, yeah. This is the one I took a deep dive. And I took a deep dive today down on this one and I
changing gears
found
completely.
Myself really drawn into the Rockabilly Space Force opening for
Brian Setzer and the Stray Cats. How okay. about that?
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
And so talk about Rockabilly Space Force a little bit.
I don't even know where to start.
How did that idea? So it's a yeah. so for people who don't know, it's a podcast, it's a movement,
it's a movement,
it's a feeling. It's
that'd be nice. Yeah, we were basically 10 years ago or so. Robert Foley, who's been playing in all these bands with me over the years, he's kind of the co-founder of everything. He's been itching to play some rockabilly or 50s or just, he kind of, you know, he just likes the jump blues. He likes the things just a little bit more modern than what I do. And so he's been pushing for this rockabilly project for a long time. And I've been like, I don't want to buy a new guitar. I don't have to get a different amp. I see all these guys with pedal boards. I'm not a pedal board kind of guy.
Well, that'd be a learning curve on that, I bet.
There, yeah. yeah. And I was just like, I don't want to spend the time to do it. I'm really focused on just, you know, I am easily the least competent musician in all of my bands. And part of that's just because I started late. I was like 30 when I started playing professionally and just kind of didn't know that I couldn't do it. And so did it, you know?
Yeah.
And but I work really hard just to play rhythm guitar in a jazz band. And I focused kind of like, you know, tunnel vision on doing that my entire career.
Yeah.
And then if, like 6 or 7 years ago, I was like, well, I really don't want to die without having played some leads, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so you're playing leads in this one too.
In Rockabilly Space Force.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So
is your primary instrument or guitar?
I play guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. I grew up playing piano and then some trumpet and then, gave up on that when I started a family young and was just super focused on family life for 10 years. And when I came back, it was like, well, a guitar is a lot easier to carry around than a piano. Yeah. So I started focusing
That's
on
true.
That. Yeah.
Not as good a workout though.
If you saw rhythm guitarists playing trad jazz, yeah, it's a workout.
Well, I guess when you're playing, I mean, yeah. moving it around.
Oh, right. The moving part.
So what's the conceit of Rockabilly Space Force? Because there's kind of a story if you go into the podcast, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, so when we were trying to figure out how we were going to market this band and what we were going to do to connect with people, we really started looking at storytelling. You know, because all the bands that I follow, you know, and I wouldn't say I have a wide swath of bands that I follow. There's usually a personal connection for me. It's what I notice. It's like, it's always something personal about the band. In my case, like all the bands in New Orleans that I'm friends with or have become acquainted with, I approached them and started talking and, you know, we hit it off and so now I follow them. Right.
Right.
I wanted to give people an on-ramp, I guess, or an opportunity, some way to connect with us in a way that you know, we could all say, yeah, we relate to each other. And so Robert, you know, in the process of all this, Robert was really the one who said, well, what about a podcast? You know, podcasts are hot right now. What if we put together a 50s dramatic, comedic, you know, hopefully comedic. We hope we think it's funny.
It is funny.
story that you could sort of dive into and hopefully get lost in. And so we spent a year writing a backstory, which has not even close, like we haven't even scratched the surface revealing it.
Wonderful.
You know, but there's little Easter eggs in season one. So season one is 15 episodes of The Adventures of the Rockabilly Space Force. It's set in the year 2095. So near future, semi-realistic. You know, we didn't go the really whimsical, you know, I don't know. I really like The Martian and I like Interstellar and sci-fi like that. So I was like, let's write it, you know, somewhat, the environment is realistic. The shtick is got to be over the top.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So like there's an episode, one of my favorites is Elvis has been reincarnated like in a lab or something. His cells have been cloned. And there's this thing, and I don't know if other bands feel this way, but you just think, well, if we could just find that one rainmaker, you know,
yeah, right.
We could tour, you know, like we just, so yeah. I meet, he's been fired or something. And I meet him in a bar and he's looking for a band and I bring him back to the base. And we slowly discover that working with Elvis isn't really that great. Calamity ensues. You know?
Right. And you feature your music in the podcast?
Every episode has a new song. And then a lot of them, like there's an episode where we go see this awful blues band and the awful blues band is us. Not in this story, but I mean like we're actually performing the music, you know, for this fake blues band that's, you know, different characters in the story.
But, and so when people, when they come to the show on Saturday, will there be kind of a little bit of story element to it or is it straight up performing?
Yeah, that's been one thing that's just been a challenge to figure out how do we blend the live performance with our story?
Yeah.
And the other hard part is one of our front people, we have three basically who sing lead. He lives in Maui and he won't be here on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be tough.
Yeah. And you might say, well, why did you do that? Well, the plan was to not be a local band necessarily. The plan was to go play out in the world.
Well, and the thing is now you can have with studio work, you can have people all over the place.
So we could, once we decided that we were going to try to tour a little bit, then it was like, well, what about Dan Kai? You know, he'd be perfect for this. And we called him up and he was like, yeah, this sounds like a really great idea. And he jumped on board. So, we do play locally in part just because I'm still trying to figure it out, to be honest. Like I, going from like a full-time dedicated, you know, narrowly focused rhythm guitarist to somebody who takes leads is not something you just like.
Oh, I can't even imagine how hard that would be. Do you have, is it kind of the same cadre of musicians in each one, or do you have one like, this lead singer, he's going to,
well,
probably
Dan,
not.
Yeah, he used to live in Spokane. That's how we met.
Okay,
him.
But is he in? But he probably doesn't do much other work with you and your other bands, I would imagine.
If he's in town,
okay.
Yeah, because he was one of the early members of Hot Club of Spokane.
Okay,
back
in the day. So do you have is it everybody kind of puts on different hats and it's the same cadre of folks in the band?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, there's four different bands that range in size from like 5-piece to an 8-piece.
Yeah.
And there's definitely people who are in one band and other people who are in two or three. I might be the only one that's in all four.
Okay.
If you know my other bands and you come see Rockabilly Space Force, you're going to see some familiar faces. We do have different names because of the podcast. My name's Buddy.
That's a good name.
So, because I'm a huge fan of Buddy Holly. So anyway, we have different names and we try to stick to that on stage. Occasionally I'll accidentally introduce somebody with their, we call it in real life. IRL in real life.
Oh, okay.
And then ITS in the story.
Okay.
We have those little abbreviations in all of our notes all over the place when we're just as a band trying to clarify. No, I'm talking about real life right now. This isn't my character
doing this right now.
We're just trying to keep reality straight from the fiction.
So
we had to have these abbreviations sometimes when we're texting or emailing.
This sounds like so much fun.
It is a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. Holy moly.
Well,
three and a half years to do.
And we're going to come back and we're going to play, because we're going to talk a little bit about Julia Rinker, who's in there, but I'm going to do my 40-minute after the hour stuff really quick.
Sure.
I'm going to come back. We're going to start off with the Julia Rinker song, and then we're going to talk about that. And also, I want to talk about how you play, how you got started in this.
Sure.
What else do you like to do? All that kind of good stuff. Probably, I don't see how you could do anything else, but at this point, as you sound like you're really busy. Okay, here we go. We're going to do our 40-minute after the hour stuff, and I'll be right back.
Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. for Solidarity Spokane, the Inland Northwest's local labor hour, hosted by Cat Sabotage, elevating the voices of everyday workers and worker organizations, fighting for your rights in the workplace and fostering community solidarity. Join us here to reclaim control over your own destiny by reclaiming the conditions and products of your labor. That's Mondays at 4 p.m. here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. An injury to one is an injury to all.
KYRS wants your brand new car. Well, not really. Yes, indeed, it's a great feeling to finally get another car after the old one's been breaking down over and over. It's another great feeling to get even more use out of an old car. Here's how. Donate it to KYRS. Car donors get a membership, a tax deduction, and the satisfaction of really helping out. Just call toll-free 855-KYRS. Car. That's 855-597-7227. Honk, honk.
Okay, we are back. See, I told you we'd be back, and we are back really quickly. Dana, welcome back.
Hi, Maeve.
Good to see you. We're going to play a song from the Zonky Jazz Band, and this one's going to be featuring Julia Rinker, and we're going to come back and talk about Julia Rinker. Is that sound
sure? Good? Yeah, and Ken Poplowski's on the track too.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. And perfect. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
singing a dream. Mr. Moon was singing sonnets, making eyes at all the comets. All the stars wore blue Easter bonnets. I was swinging a dream. I saw the Little Dipper cutting the Persian rug. Even the Daddy Dipper turned out to be a jitterbug. Just about when day was breaking, seeing the star, the earth was quaking. I woke and lay there waking. I was swinging, swinging a dream.
All right, that is, so that's the kind of music you're going to hear from the Zonkey Jazz Band, Kim Poplowski, and we have in that Julia Rinker, who, let's talk about Julia Rinker. Sure. Now, Julia Rinker has done some major work in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, she's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, she was, for those of you who remember Three's Company, she sang the...
I think she wrote it too, didn't she?
I'm not sure about that. I'd have to ask her.
Yeah.
I'm sure that she would have told me that, but it doesn't ring any bells. But okay. She did, it's funny, she did tell me this, she told me this joke about...
I have a button I can push.
Yeah, it's not profane.
Okay,
it's more like kind of mean.
Okay, all so, right.
There's the Ray Charles Singers, right? That's who was hired to do the Three's Company theme, and Ray Charles was the guy who led it. Well, he was a Caucasian man, not Ray Charles,
not the Ray Charles,
not Ray Charles. Yeah, yeah. Not the one that the blind one that everyone
right.
Yeah, that everyone knows. You know, I Got a Woman and The Mess Around and all those songs. So the joke was, I got a gig with Ray Charles. Oh yeah, which one? The blind one or the deaf one? And the Three's Company one was the one apparently who didn't have the same level of pitch control or quality that the famous one had. But at any rate, that was a Julia Rinker story. But,
oh, that's funny.
She's still hanging around. She's down in kind of Bakersfield, California area. She lives down there. And her other claim to fame was that she was... This is another really bizarre one, and unfortunately it's uncredited, so you can't look in the credits of Young Frankenstein, but
one of my favorite movies.
At the end of the film, when Terry Garr and,
oh, Sweet Mystery of Life, I Found You, she said that's, that?
Yeah, Julia Rinker is singing the orgasm.
Madeline Kahn fart?
Well, Madeline Kahn sings it earlier in the film.
Okay.
Right, but Terry Garr is the one.
Right, it's Terry Garr's doing it.
Having the climactic moment.
Right,
and Julia Rinker is singing Terry Garr's.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh man, I got to go home and watch that. Hey folks, you heard that here on Out and About.
Well, and the funny thing is, beyond that, of course, is just that the way she got the role was she had been hanging. Well, she was also Cher's voice double.
Okay.
So on the Sonny and Cher show, Julia Rinker, if Cher had a cold or something, Julia would sing her parts in the show.
Wow, what a talent.
She was on the Dean Martin show, often on camera as a dancer and singer. So she was around all these sets, you know, and Mel Brooks met her. And I don't know if he asked her out. Like, Julia was really careful to make sure that I didn't think that he was asking her out.
Okay.
But he wanted her to be in Young Frankenstein somehow. And he showed up at her house at I think he called and said, hey, can I come over? And it was like midnight. So he comes and she's like, well, my mom's visiting and she's asleep on the couch. So we'll have to be in the kitchen and keep it down. And so Mel Brooks came over to her apartment and they chatted until like 6 in the morning, had breakfast.
Wow.
And that's how she got the Mysteries of Life party in Young Frankenstein.
But wow.
She has a ton of like my friend Robert says that they need to do a story, basically either her aunt or Julia has to be basically like the Forrest Gump of show business. And he doesn't mean Forrest Gump in the mental capacity state, yes. Part. He means that they both witnessed so much history.
Yeah, the brushes with famous people.
Yeah. Mildred Bailey was at the center of so many, like the Betty Goodman trio formed in her living room, you know.
Yeah.
Billie Holiday's mom was her cleaning lady, you know, and she helped discover Billie Holiday. I mean, it's just like, all, there's this long line of things where it's just like Mildred Bailey is somehow associated with all of these things throughout, you know, the history of jazz. And you know, that by itself would be a book or a movie or something, you know.
No doubt. And
and of course Mildred Bailey, by the way, is Julia Rinker's aunt.
Right, Julia Rinker's aunt and Al Rinker's daughter.
Right.
And so again, a Spokane connection there too.
Yeah.
So had she ever been to Spokane?
So
when she came and did the studio work, was it here?
Well, she yes, in a sense. So I first met Julia when I owned Nostalgia Magazine, which is a local history magazine that's now no longer a thing.
No way.
Yeah.
I love that magazine. I would buy that at the grocery store all the time. And I would pour over it.
For about 10 years, I
love that magazine.
Publisher of that magazine.
Oh, my.
So I called her knowing that her dad was, you know, part of Spokane history and said, hey, I'd like to do an article on your dad. So we met in 2014 and we did this big article on her dad and his accomplishments in jazz and kind of his local history. And then just kept in touch over the years and we've become very good friends. And so at the beginning of the pandemic, I'd been thinking about this Mildred Bailey tribute album, which is what you just heard a few moments ago with that track, Swingin' the Dream. And so we put together I don't know if you remember the pandemic videos where you have like 12 musicians.
Yeah, it looks like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. They're just all in their own houses, you know, but on the same film on YouTube or whatever. So we thought, well, we'll do one of those and include Julia. So we had Julia Rinker. We had four singers doing backup vocals. We had Dayan Kai, who's in Rockabilly Space Force. He played clarinet on the track. And basically almost all the people that I work with and all the bands were just kind of like, well, let's just pile onto this one video. So you can find that on YouTube. Just look for Swingin' a Dream, Zonky Jazz Band. You can find that video.
And this is the one that has the dancers?
Yeah, it also has dancers in it. Yeah, we were like, let's just do everything. You know, we're gonna have dancers. We're going to have all the instruments. We're going to have as many singers as we can. Julia Rinker is going to be the lead. And so we did all that. So that went well. And then when we were ready to do the album, she's on that one track. And so she came to town and she actually performed with Zonky and Ken Poplowski at the Montvale June 3rd of 2022.
Wow.
So yeah, she was in town for that. She's been to town a few times. She did a Mildred Bailey tribute down at Tico.
Okay.
With Daryl Sherman back, I want to say 2012, but I could be wrong about that.
She probably still has a lot of relatives around her, I would imagine.
Not as many.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose when you get somebody who's famous, that everybody kind of gravitates that way.
Kind of. I mean, Julia's grandma, Al's mom, died in 1912 when he was just a boy, and Mildred was like 17. So the family, when the kids all went off to do their big things, you know, Al in the music and Mildred in the music industry, Charles became a lyricist, so he was in the music industry. I forget what the other two brothers did, but they just kind of, there was an exodus. And so there's no Rinker family that stuck back, you know, and had kids and so on. There's Rinkers in Portland. There's Rinkers, obviously in Bakersfield. I don't remember where Julia's kids are, but Todd Rinker is in Portland and he's a musician.
Okay.
And he's got kiddos that are both musical.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool that kind of a family business.
Yeah. Yeah. So when she came here, there wasn't anyone to meet up with family wise the folks from Portland actually came too.
And
they met up with her here, but not locally. So anyway, yeah, it's been fun to hear the inside stories, you know, and I've been encouraging her to write a book now for like a decade.
That'd be a wonderful book.
Julia, why are you? And she's finally, I think the other day, well, it was about a month ago, she texted me and she's like, I think I'm ready to write it.
Yeah, do it.
Well, I'm ready to read it. Yeah. I've been ready for years.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. So I didn't have time to play the next song.
That's okay.
We have to go to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now, which is great. Don't get me wrong, people.
Yeah.
It's great. And you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane. I have to say that at the top of the hour here. And Come and let's tell people one last time how they can get tickets to go see the show at the Hamilton Studios.
Sure, hotclubofspokane.org or zonkyjazzband.com. Both of those sites have tickets for sale for that event.
And you're going to be so busy because you're also here this weekend on Saturday.
Rockabilly Space Force.com.
Rockabilly Space Force, yeah. And so you can go to KYRS and get the details on that. And it's free. And come and see. I think I'm gonna come to the show. All right. Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you for having me.
It was wonderful. Yeah. And I got a lot to ask you about Nostalgia Magazine.
Okay. All right.
Here we go. And thanks everybody.
And as world leaders gather here in New York to address the UN General Assembly, activists kick off Climate Week with a direct action to shut down Citibank. There were 31 arrests. Citibank, one of the largest funders of fossil fuel expansion.
We are here to shut it down during Climate Week because we know a better future is possible. We do not need to be investing in fossil fuels. The time is now for renewable energy, and we are demanding Citibank hear us.
We'll hear voices from the streets and speak to Kumi Naidoo, former head of Greenpeace International and Amnesty International, now president of the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty Initiative. And unless the U.S. Supreme Court intervenes today, the state of Missouri is set to kill Marcellus Williams tonight, despite the fact the prosecutor, the jurors, and the murder victim's family all oppose his execution. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Lebanon's caretaker Prime Minister Najib Mikati has accused Israel of waging a war of extermination after Israeli airstrikes killed at least 558 people, including 50 children, and injured over 1,800 since Monday. It was Israel's largest attack on Lebanon in nearly two decades. In Israel, Israel said today it will further accelerate its attacks on Lebanon. Israel claimed the airstrikes struck 1,600 Hezbollah targets, but Lebanon